This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Tuesday, February 7th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
Refining costs and shale write-downs sap earnings at two of Europe's largest oil companies.
Philly Fed President Patrick Harker fuels speculation that a rate hike could come as soon as March.
Earnings for 21st Century Fox beat estimates while Wall Street now awaits results from Disney and GM.
The Trump administration will return to court today to demand reinstatement of a travel ban plus a Democratic drive to stop Education Secretary nominee Betsy DeVos. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another embarrassing night for the Knicks. A home loss to the lowly Lakers. Red Hot Islanders won in overtime. Devils also won.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by SEI. Recognized as a fintech pioneer, SEI continues its legacy of innovation by helping asset managers to compete in a changing world. Explore SEI's next-gen ideas at seic.com/IMS.
It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 4 points, Dow futures up 42, NASDAQ futures up 9, the DAX in Germany is up 0.4%, the CAC in Paris up 0.1%, FTSE 100 up 0.6%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell about 0.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.41%. Yield on the two-year, 1.16%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.4% or 21 cents to $52.80 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $1.70 to $12.30.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.0660. The yen, 112.38.
And as mentioned, equities in Asia today finished mostly lower. Bloomberg Sophie Kamarudin reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob and Karen, the rally in Asian markets sputtering this Tuesday after a four-day advance. Energy shares dragging as New York crude had losses near $53 a barrel. And with the yen trading near a two-month high, the Nikkei 225 closing 0.3% lower, and the TOPIX clocking its first day of declines in three. Toyota, among the biggest laggards in Tokyo, after posting a 39% drop in third-quarter operating profit, while Honda and Hitachi rose ahead of announcing their joint venture into electric vehicle technology. Chinese stocks falling amid low volatility, the Hang Seng little changed, and the Kospi slipping, with Samsung accounting for the lion's share of the drop. Sophie Kamarudin, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Sophie. Trading for this Tuesday underway in Europe. For the latest, we bring in Bloomberg's Matt Miller live from our Berlin bureau. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. European equity indexes up across the board this morning, with the FTSE gaining the most, a 0.6% gain to 7,213. The CAC up 0.1% to 4,783, and the DAX up 0.4% to 11,559. A lot of earnings news out in Europe this morning, led by BNP Paribas. The French bank shares dropped the most since June, after it posted earnings that fell short of estimates, while also laying out a multi-year plan to lower costs and boost investments in technology. So the threat of fintech proving to be a real problem for the French, especially on the consumer banking side. As far as oil, a lot of earnings out there as well. BP reported fourth quarter earnings that missed analyst estimates amid higher oil prices, that failed to fully compensate for lower income from refining. So profit for adjusted for one-time items and inventory changes totaled $400 million. Analysts were looking for $567.7 million. So a miss there. And then moving north to Norway, Statoil also missing analysts' expectations for profit. In fact, it posted a loss of $40 million. We were looking for a $657 million gain. Statoil says cost cuts are tough to make stick here as the downturn isn't over. That's a Bloomberg Daybreak Berlin update. Back to you in New York.
Matt Miller, thanks very much. Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia President Patrick Harker says the Fed's March meeting is a live option for an interest rate increase. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with more now. Good morning, John.
Hey, Bob. Harker, who votes on policy this year, told reporters in San Diego that March is on the table, and it depends on how the data evolve as what would convince him to lift rates next month. He cited good job numbers, GDP growth, and a strengthening labor market. Andrew Balls at PIMCO tells Bloomberg the Fed does need to prepare the markets if it wants to hike next month.
There is a communications challenge. The wage inflation data, from the payrolls report certainly takes the pressure off a little bit in terms of March, I would have thought.
Harker is the second Fed official to say publicly that the March FOMC meeting should be considered for a potential rate move. Bob and Karen.
John Tucker, thank you. Shares of 21st Century Fox gained 2% in late trading yesterday after reporting earnings that topped analyst estimates, even though revenue fell short. Bloomberg's Catherine Cowdery has the story.
Sports and politics were good businesses to be in for 21st Century Fox. They helped Rupert Murdoch's TV and film company overcome currency troubles and tough times at the box office. 21st Century Fox reported fiscal second quarter profit that topped analyst estimates, benefiting from strong ad sales from the 2016 World Series and from growth in advertising on cable, including Fox News and FX. The election year drew political ads to the company's local stations and Fox News. Fox says a strong performance of the sports business looks set to continue. Catherine Cowdery, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Catherine. As for today's earnings schedule, we'll hear from 27 companies in the S&P 500, including Walt Disney, Mondelez International, and General Motors. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger tells us what investors will be watching for from GM.
Bloomberg Intelligence reports a 6% uptick in unit sales for GM's North American business unit was no doubt a key driver of earnings in the fourth quarter. Sales for light trucks were up 7% from the prior fourth quarter to nearly 73% of total volume. One challenge for 2017 will be to pare down excessive supplies of cars. Incentives for car buyers could erode GM's profit. Analysts predict General Motors will post earnings of $1.17 a share on revenue topping $41 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. Another Trump nominee comes to a vote today. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The Senate will vote today to confirm President Donald Trump's nominee for Education Secretary. It looks like Betsy DeVos will be confirmed by the narrowest possible margin, with Vice President Mike Pence expected to break a 50-50 tie. Two Republican senators have already said they will vote no on DeVos. Democrats held an overnight marathon speaking binge in a show of opposition to DeVos, including Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Just one more Republican, and we can say that this Senate puts kids ahead of partisan politics.
However, Republican Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina took to the floor to support DeVos.
Not only has she spent millions of her own money focusing on education, she has a set of fresh eyes.
The vote will likely take place around noon Washington time. The Justice Department has offered more arguments defending President Trump's ban on travelers from seven predominantly Muslim nations. The brief was given to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. The appeals court earlier refused to immediately reinstate the ban, which was stayed by a lower court in Seattle. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has more.
The three judges on the panel will listen to arguments about why the temporary order halting the policy should be lifted. Bloomberg's Remy Innocencio says the administration's argument will be,
you know, this is a matter of national security, but critics are going to say that it is a question about constitutionality.
Traditional thought has this as a very liberal court. This case may very likely wind its way to the Supreme Court. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio, San Francisco.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel is calling for European unity in the face of Brexit as she visits Poland today. Bloomberg's Marek Zalecki has more from Warsaw.
Germany wants Poland on its side in renewing Europe, and Merkel is coming to Warsaw with this quest. She's hoping that despite some differences, sober analysis would lead to common basis, allowing Europe to get adjusted where needed and work again, something that is not possible without Poland. Marek Zalecki, Bloomberg Daybreak, Warsaw.
Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is expressing disappointment about the level of partisanship in Congress. During a talk at Stanford University, she also called for changes to the Electoral College. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. This may have been rock bottom for the Knicks. At home against the Lakers team that had lost its last 12 on the road, and it wasn't close. L.A. up by 27 points in the third quarter. The final a little more respectable, but a 121-107 defeat. Carmelo Anthony, 26 points for New York. Knicks reportedly keep calling the Cavs about a Melo for Kevin Love trade, and Cleveland keeps saying not interested. And last night, an example of why. Love scored 39 points. The Cavs won in overtime at Washington, 140-135. That ends the Wizards' 17-game home winning streak. A thriller in Brooklyn. The Red Hot Islanders tied Toronto with a minute and a half left in regulation. And then midway through overtime, Brock Nelson scored a 6-5 win. The Isles 6-0-2 in their last eight. Devils, after seven straight home losses, beat Buffalo 2-1 on a Pavel Zaka goal in the third period. College hoops, 10th straight win for Monmouth, beating Ryder. May have been awkward, but there was Tom Brady yesterday in Houston posing for pictures with the man who suspended him for the first four games this season, Roger Goodell. Brady was getting his MVP that he said should have gone to running back James White.
I was telling, Coach earlier, James White is like my oldest son. Like, he just does everything right, and you can never get mad at him because even when he doesn't make the play, he feels worse about it than you do, you know. So he's just the best teammate. You know, he's an incredible player. He's been that way since he really assumed that big role when Deion got hurt last year.
Another duck boat parade in Boston today in this century. The Red Sox have had three of these, the Bruins one, and now five for the Patriots. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. One other sports item. Not exactly Dilly defeats Truman, but some Florida readers of the Boston Globe learned a different Super Bowl outcome than most Monday morning. Early editions of the paper ran a front page suggesting the Patriots lost, with a headline that read, "A bitter end. Late games can play havoc with publishing deadlines." Boston area editions did get the proper front page headline. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Bentley University. What do tying up the finances at Converse and managing asset allocations at J.P. Morgan have in common? A business degree from Bentley University. Because business is everywhere, prepare here.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by the FRM certification. Protect your firm's investments and clients in today's volatile market. With FRM expertise, the FRM is the world's most widely recognized financial risk designation. Learn more at garp.org/FRM. The dollar strengthening against all its major peers and gold falling as demand for some haven assets ebbs. The weaker euro helping European stocks advance even as Bellwether's BP and BNP Paribas reported earnings that missed analyst estimates. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures are higher as well, with S&P futures up 4.5 points, Dow futures up 46, and NASDAQ futures up 10. DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.40%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.15%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 12 cents to $52.88 a barrel. COMEX gold, little change, down 40 cents to $12.31.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.0665. The yen, 112.30. Today we're watching for the trade balance out at 8:30 Wall Street time. That at 10, it's the JOLTS jobs report. At 3, consumer credit. And more than two dozen companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. They include General Motors and Walt Disney. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. The controversial nominee for Education Secretary will likely get a vote before the full Senate today, following a marathon session where Democrats each used the maximum debate time allotted in a show of opposition to Betsy DeVos. With two Republicans announcing opposition, Vice President Mike Pence will likely have to break the 50-50 tie to confirm the nominee who favors alternatives to public education. A federal appeals court in Northern California is set to hear arguments today over President Donald Trump's travel and refugee ban. The federal government maintains the president has the power to do what he's done, while states suing Trump say his executive order is unconstitutional. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Wizards also lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won in overtime. The Devils were also winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, Mr. Barr. As we've mentioned, March is on the table for a Fed rate hike, according to Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker. He told reporters after a speech in San Diego yesterday, "I would never take a meeting off the table. It depends on how the data evolve." Well, it's that evolutionary process we want to look into this morning as we bring in J.P. Morgan Asset Management Global Market Strategist Alex Triton. He's on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Alex Triton, good morning. Glad to have you with us. So can the Fed essentially pivot on the data dime, if you will, or is this process of adjusting to the new administration and its fiscal measures going to take some time?
Of course, the Fed are going to be data dependent. And of course, if the data picks up meaningfully, then the Fed will try and position markets. But with just over a month to go until the March Fed meeting, and the markets are pricing in about a 30% chance of a rate hike in March. That is a long way to go to get to that 70 or 80% threshold, which the Fed usually want to get the markets to before raising interest rates. The data is going to have to be really good, and all of the Fed are going to have to come out and be quite hawkish to get a March interest rate hike on the table and to get investors taking them seriously.
So are investors misreading treasuries in the short term, though?
Well, I think we're misreading both treasuries and the US dollar at the moment. We got very excited at the end of 2016 and into the start of 2017 on the idea of fiscal stimulus coming through. However, there has been painfully little detail of what fiscal stimulus measures the new administration is going to put into action in the U.S. So I've been telling clients to watch out for some fiscal frustrations going through the next few months as that fiscal stimulus that we so anticipated in 2016 doesn't come through on the scale and in the timing that we first expected it to.
Do you have any clue as to when we might get some clarity over U.S. fiscal policy?
Sure. You know, when will we actually get some fiscal policy clarity? It will be in April, May time when the U.S. President and politicians put together a budget for the next fiscal year. So that will come through in April or May. So we're not expecting anything before then. Now, what does that mean for monetary policy? Because monetary policy and fiscal policy, they go hand in hand. I believe that the Fed will hold off on a March interest rate hike until after they get some clarity on the fiscal policy positioning of U.S. politicians, which will mean maybe we'll see an interest rate in May or June, but it seems unlikely that we'll see one in March.
Okay, let's be clear then on how many interest rate hikes you're expecting this year.
At the moment, we're positioning for 2 to 3 interest rate hikes. The U.S. economy is still in a decent position. The consumer is still looking strong. Inflation is starting to pick up. The unemployment rate remains low, and that's starting to feed into wage pressure. Now, all of that together still means that the Fed could raise interest rates 2 or 3 times. But those calls from certain economists and investors for, say, 4 or 5 interest rate hikes are looking increasingly unrealistic with the lack of clarity that we've got over fiscal policy.
That being said, where would you expect treasuries to be come the summer?
Come the summer, you can expect them to be knocking on that sort of 2.5 to 3% range. It depends a little bit on what fiscal policy that we see in that April-May budget. If we start seeing a lot more spending and we start seeing a lot more tax cuts, then that U.S. 10-year could start to creep up and over 3% as we expect a more hawkish Fed going forward.
Is there any chance that the Treasury market could sort of snap because of some unexpected news?
Of course, and what it is important to remember here is that investors are currently very short U.S. Treasuries. The overall net short level is at a record high in January, so there is a lot of consensus positioning for a higher yield from the investors at the moment. However, that could lead to a sharp snapback as we get some fiscal frustrations feeding through into markets.
Our thanks to J.P. Morgan Asset Management Global Market Strategist Alex Dryden. He joined us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Let's take a forward look at the market now. S&P futures are up 4 points. That is 2/10 of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices are at 10-year Treasury yields, I should say, at 2.4078%, the 2-year yield at 1.1570%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 12% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Wheels Up is bringing you Bloomberg Daybreak. It's time to up the way you fly with Wheels Up, the most intelligent way to fly private. To learn more, visit wheelsup.com or call 855-FLY-8760.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. BNP Paribas shares are down 4.2% in Paris this morning. The French bank posting fourth quarter profit that missed analyst estimates as earnings fell at its consumer banking business.
Shares of European oil company BP are also falling after a profit miss. They're down 2.6% after higher oil prices failed to fully compensate for lower income from refining.
German industrial output unexpectedly fell the most in 8 years. Output declined 3% from November when it advanced 0.5%.
Here in the U.S., more than two dozen companies in the S&P 500 report earnings today. Heading the list, Disney, General Motors, and Emerson Electric.
At 10 a.m. Wall Street time, the Labor Department issues its latest tally of job openings. Economists say the report will probably show there were 5.5 million job openings in December. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
The JOLTS report, shorthand for the Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, adds context to the government's payroll data with a one-month lag. Economists at Bloomberg Intelligence say it could illustrate trends contributing to January's larger-than-forecast gain of 227,000 non-farm jobs. In November, job openings rose to 5.522 million. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia President Patrick Harker says March is a live meeting. He says policymakers could hike rates then if job market momentum holds up, growth continues, and wages rise.
According to people familiar with the matter, Google parent Alphabet is organizing the funding for a legal brief opposing President Donald Trump's executive order on immigration. The brief is being signed by more than 120 companies.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is looking for a new boss. CEO Erez Vigodman is stepping down after 3 years on the job at the world's largest generic drug maker.
The International Monetary Fund has upped its rhetoric against Greece, saying it won't come close to meeting fiscal surplus targets. The IMF says Greece is making progress, but didn't say whether it will finance the next stage of the country's bailout.
And China's foreign reserves edged just below $3 trillion in January. That's after the yuan capped its steepest annual decline in more than two decades.
Futures are higher. S&P futures up 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 38 and NASDAQ futures up 8.5. 10-year Treasury little change, yield 2.40%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. Meanwhile, back in court for the Trump administration. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The Trump administration will be in court today in support of the president's travel and refugee ban. The Justice Department filed with a federal appeals court in San Francisco to demand reinstatement of a travel ban on seven predominantly Muslim nations. The Trump administration says it's a lawful exercise of the president's authority to protect national security. President Trump accused the media of not reporting terror attacks.
It's gotten to a point where it's not even being reported. And in many cases, the very, very dishonest press doesn't want to report it.
Trump made the allegation during a speech yesterday at MacDill Air Force Base, home of U.S. Central Command. The White House later released a list of 78 attacks it describes as executed or inspired by the Islamic State group. The accusation comes days after advisor Kellyanne Conway spoke about a lack of coverage of a massacre in Bowling Green, Kentucky, that didn't take place. Senate Democrats are making an around-the-clock stand against President Donald Trump's nominee for Education Secretary. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York says the 24-hour effort is aimed at getting at least one more Republican to side against Betsy DeVos.
In my mind, she is the least qualified nominee in a historically unqualified cabinet.
However, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell took to the floor to support DeVos.
The nominee for Education Secretary Betsy DeVos is a well-qualified candidate who earned the support of 20 governors and several education groups from across the nation.
Two Republican senators have already sided with Democrats. Unless a third Republican senator defects, there will be a 50-50 tie that will have to be broken by Vice President Mike Pence. It is parade day for the New England Patriots. Quarterback Tom Brady and the rest of the team will parade through Boston this morning, following the team's come-from-behind overtime win over the Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thanks very much. On to more sports now at 5:35 on Wall Street. Your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Talk about a smart broadcasting decision. TNT was originally going to air Knicks-Lakers last night, then switched to Cavs-Wizards. That game in D.C. went overtime thanks to LeBron James.
The free throw is up and good. Cavs have to go 94 feet love. Long outlet pass to LeBron. He makes the catch. He steps behind the line. Turnaround three on the way. Oh, he banked it in! LeBron James banked it in with 0.3 seconds remaining. He's tied this game at 120. Oh, my word!
Cavs radio. Cleveland won 140-135. LeBron scored 32 points before fouling out. Kevin Love scored 39. Bradley Beal had 41 for Washington. Meanwhile, the game at the Garden between two struggling franchises, all Lakers, a 20-4 run in the opening quarter. So Knicks fans were booing early and often. L.A. won 121-107. These aren't the Magic Johnson or Kobe Bryant Lakers. They had won 10 of their previous 41 games, hadn't won on the road since mid-December. Things going from bad to worse for the Knicks. Going much better for the Islanders, 7-1-2 in their last 10 games, making a push for a playoff spot. They topped Toronto 6-5 on a Brock Nelson goal in overtime. Devils got by Buffalo 2-1 in Newark. Local college hoops, 20th win for Monmouth. Stony Brook won, losses for St. Peter's and Fairfield in the ACC. Virginia beat Louisville. Major League Baseball has asked the Players Union to accept two rule changes, a larger strike zone, and to save time, pitchers would not have to actually make pitches when issuing an intentional walk. The day after coaching the Falcons offense in the Super Bowl, having his fourth quarter play calling be questioned, Kyle Shanahan officially takes over as 49ers head coach. That is not a well-kept secret. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. Now 5:37 on Wall Street. That is time for your Tri-State Business Report and our check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Bob. IBM CEO Ginni Rometty got her biggest bonus as head of the company after the shares rose about 21% last year, the first annual gain in 4 years. The $4.9 million payout was tied to goals that included growth in the company's operating net income. Rometty has been working to shift the company to cloud software and services, and newer technologies like artificial intelligence. Carl Icahn plans to sell the closed Trump Taj Mahal Casino in Atlantic City, even after Governor Christie vetoed a bill that would have stripped the billionaire of his casino license. On his website, Icahn says he could sell the facility at a loss instead of investing the $100 to $200 million needed to keep it going. Donut maker Krispy Kreme cuts the ribbon on its first factory in New Jersey today. New York Business Journal says the Jersey City plant is a former PNC bank and has the capacity to make 65,000 donuts a day. The company plans to open 5 additional stores in the area. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thank you, Ed. Don't need 65,000. Just one will do. Thank you. China's new loans in January may have exceeded the previous monthly record set last year. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
People familiar say regulators are estimating that the new loans popped to a range at or above the 2.5 trillion yuan record that was set back in January of 2016. That's about 364 billion U.S. dollars and higher than a Bloomberg survey of analysts. The credit surge highlights the challenge policymakers face. They want to keep growth humming even as they reduce leverage and try to deflate asset bubbles. It's a game of push and pull. So the new loans is putting money into the system, but then today, for instance, the PBOC did not offer any reverse repos. That's a form of tightening, a net withdrawal of funds from the financial system. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Brian, thank you. And now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all about all around the world this morning.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on the Wall Street Journal scaling back or closing some European bureaus.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WTKK in Raleigh, I'm reporting that more vapers now say they've given up traditional cigarettes.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that the city ranks 83rd on a list of best places to live in the country.
I'm Caroline Hepke. On Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London, we're reporting on the Speaker of the House of Commons, who says President Trump should not be allowed to speak in the British Parliament.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, I'm talking about Aetna possibly cooling on a potential plan to leave Hartford for Boston.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. General Motors earnings are taking center stage this morning.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. A forward look at the markets now. S&P futures up 3 points, a tenth of 1%. Dow futures up 37 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 8 points. In Europe, London's FTSE up 0.5%. The CAC in Paris up 0.1%. And the DAX in Frankfurt is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury prices unchanged at this hour. The yield at 2.4078%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Audit, Tax, and Advisory Professionals at Eisner Amper, LLP.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar is strengthening against all its major peers, and gold is falling as demand for some haven assets ebbs. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures moving higher with S&P futures up 3 points, Dow futures up 37, NASDAQ futures up 8, the DAX in Germany up 0.4%, 10-year Treasury little change, yield 2.40%, the yield on the 2-year 1.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3% or 15 cents to $52.86 a barrel. Gold has now little change. It has trimmed its declines. It's up 30 cents now at $1,232.40 an ounce. The British pound at $1.2372, the euro $1.0666, and the yen 112.29. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the Trump administration plans to argue today that the U.S. will face grave peril without a travel ban on 7 Muslim-majority countries. Justice Department lawyers will argue their case by phone before an appellate panel in San Francisco today to seek the reversal of a lower court ruling that suspended President Trump's executive order. South Korean prosecutors plan to interview President Park Geun-hye this week over her alleged involvement in a scandal that toppled her from power. Park was impeached by Parliament, and a court decision is pending that could remove her from office. 4 former top government officials were indicted today for allegedly blacklisting thousands of artists critical of the government. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Wizards also lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won in overtime. The Devils were also winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you, Michael. Your Bloomberg ETF report now from Catherine Cowdery.
ETF investors are placing bets that the administration will carry through with President Trump's proposal to spend $1 trillion or more on infrastructure projects. Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Eric Balchuna says the iShares Global Infrastructure ETF ticker IGF has seen its assets jump by $200 million.
I think, again, this is another case of investors just seeing infrastructure in the name and buying it. Here's the thing. It's only 33% U.S. stocks. So we're talking about U.S. infrastructure spending. And it's 40% utilities. The net result is the infrastructure ETF is up like 2% since Trump won, lagging the market by a couple of multiples.
Valchunas says some investors have been using copper ETFs to place bets on infrastructure spending.
Copper is up 10% since he won, and copper obviously used for infrastructure and building things.
That may be one of the reasons why assets held in long-only industrial metals ETFs reached $1.33 billion in January. That's the highest since September 2014. That's your Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Catherine Cowdery.
Thank you, Catherine. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Good morning, Edward. I'm trying to visualize the headline on this first item. Michelin man gets a free lunch, and they say I'm the one with the spare tire.
And it's the bond market that's serving it. Michelin, the French tire maker, and actually German healthcare provider Fresenius have been kicked off the year by borrowing at even lower rates than their already super low bond yields. And that they've been able to do this because funds that buy nothing but convertible bonds and hold them have more money than they know what to do with. Now, rather than issuing a straight convertible bond that converts into a issuer's shares if they rise above a certain level over a certain period, Michelin and Fresenius have done something a bit cleverer. They've issued bonds last month that were structured to deliver investors a convertible-style return if the share price rise. Fine. But any such gain will be paid in cash, not shares. The idea here is that the company will not have to issue new equity if the bond converts, and shareholders won't get diluted. In effect, the investors have each bought an equity derivative that pays out if either of these two companies' shares rise above a certain level, or they get their money back at the end. And this has been packaged up neatly and dressed up as a convertible bond. This may seem like an enormous palaver, but it's a sign of an inefficient market, and it means that this convoluted process makes for cheap funding. The coupons, actually, on Michelin's and Fresenius' convertibles were zero. And investors, in fact, were willing to pay a premium for Fresenius so the yield will actually be negative. Likewise, thanks to some very fancy footwork involving converting the proceeds into euros, Michelin's deal will actually get a negative yield as well. So even after shelling out for the derivatives that deliver investors the gains on their stock prices, it's more attractive for the issuer to do all this than issue a traditional bond of the same size. So how is this possible in supposedly efficient markets? Surely the convertible bond investors should simply buy ordinary bonds, at least they have a positive yield, and then buy options on the company's shares themselves. The snag is, of course, they probably aren't allowed to. Their investment mandate requires them to buy the convertible bonds. End of story. So demand exceeds supply, and convertible investors are tolerating some pretty onerous terms right now.
Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Thanks very much. And you can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing GADFGO on the Bloomberg.
Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And the Law Brief is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Today, Bloomberg Law hosts Greg Storr and Michael Best discuss the latest developments in the legal battle over President Donald Trump's executive order on immigration. They speak with Leon Fresco, partner at Holland & Knight and deputy assistant attorney general from the Office of Immigration Litigation at the U.S. Department of Justice, and James Copeland, senior fellow and director of legal policy at the Manhattan Institute.
A couple different statutes. One from 1952 says that the president has broad power to exclude any class of alien from the country. And then there's another one a few decades later that says the president can't discriminate on various bases, including national origin, when it comes to giving out visas. Can you sort of clarify how those two statutes work together?
I think the courts are likely to read these as not particularly in conflict. In other words, as long as I think if the President of the United States were to engage in sort of a permanent restructuring of the visa allocation process that was in contravention of the congressional statute, he'd have a problem. But when it comes to that sort of temporary denial of admission for a class of aliens, which is specifically authorized in another section of the code, I think the President, putting those constitutional arguments to the side or any sort of contractual or due process claims, I think when it comes to a conflict of laws type of question between these two provisions of the code, the president's on pretty strong ground there.
Jim, how quickly would we expect that this could get to the Supreme Court?
My guess is it could be quite quick, and the reason is this is obviously going to be a very hot-button issue. So what the Trump administration would, I presume, we do immediately were they to lose at the Ninth Circuit is try to get some sort of emergency action by the Supreme Court. Now, would the Supreme Court be likely to do that is a very different question. But my guess is there'd be quite a quick move on it. I mean, these are all very sorts of quick moves. Normally, courts take a long time to decide things, right? But when you have something like a TRO, which is an ex parte type of move like this, before you've had any sort of briefing, et cetera, you know, things can move very quickly. And what the Ninth Circuit panel that drew this case was trying to do was sort of look at this, and they wanted to see briefing before they made a call one way or the other here. My guess is the Supreme Court might do the same thing, but we'd see very quick action on either side with an adverse ruling.
That's Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight and Deputy Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Immigration Litigation at the U.S. Department of Justice Civil Division, and James Copeland, Senior Fellow and Director of Legal Policy at the Manhattan Institute, speaking with Bloomberg Law hosts Michael Best and Greg Stuhr. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
Now, among the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law, lawsuit over taking liberties with Hamilton. Investors who say they lost $1.5 million in a scam involving the resale of tickets to the Broadway blockbuster Hamilton have sued an advisory firm that pushed them into the venture. The suit claims that TriPoint Global Equities and TriPoint Capital Advisors didn't investigate the ticket reselling plan or they would have seen the red flags. Three people have been charged with running the Hamilton ticket business as a Ponzi scheme.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information. Futures are higher. S&P futures up 3 points. Dow futures up 41. NASDAQ futures up 9. The DAX in Germany's up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.41%. And NYMEX crude oil at $52.82 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report. Legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
The Federal Election Commission must respond to a court decision that its rules for presidential campaign debates might exclude some candidates, specifically independent and minor party. Expect lots of proposed legislation to battle high prescription drug prices. Bills already introduced include better access to generics and more imported drugs. Your bar tab could climb if Congress approves a border adjustment tax. The levy would hike prices for spirits that by definition can't be made in the U.S. Domestically made alcohol would not be affected.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.